It's Thursday, the 24th of February. This is the Sodcast. This is episode 29.
Absolute silence as deep in the undergrowth of North County Dublin, we're recording the Sodcast.
Somebody kill the high-mast airplane, please.
Welcome to the loudest gardening podcast in the world, the Sodcast, with your host, Peter Donegan.
Yes, and welcome to episode 29 of the Sodcast, loudest gardening podcast in the world. I do, of course, have a cracking show lined up for you today with all of the bits and bobs you need to get yourself through the gardening weekend. And what a beautiful day it is to be outside. It is apparently going to hit about 16 Celsius in Dublin. I don't look as funny in my shorts as I normally do when it's raining, but nonetheless, as I said to you, I do have a wonderful show lined up for you today with all of the bits and bobs you need to get through the weekend, with your plant of the week, your tool of the week, and of course all of this week's oddities as well. First up, this is a politics-free zone, and I'm going to keep it that way, and thank God, and I don't want to hear any mention of the word, and it won't be mentioned on this show, to be very honest with you. If you need to get in contact with me, you can do so in the following ways. I'm on email, info@donneganlandscaping.com. I'm on Twitter, @DonneganGardens. I'm also on facebook.com/DonneganLandscaping. Moving straight on, I got to give a quick mention actually to the, the Skerries Mills. Remember I did the garden group trip to Skerries Mills there a couple of weeks ago? And in that, there was a note that I'd put in where I'd said that it was kind of amazing what the different eyes picked up. And Jennifer Farley, wonderful photographer who I met with this week. Hi, Jason, as well, if you're listening. And Jennifer had taken some photographs, and she only got around to publishing them this week. But in there, there's a little gem of, it's the second photograph in Jennifer's post. Links are up there. Go check them out. But there's a little gem that Jennifer took, and it's the second photograph, and it's one of Anthony McGuinness taking a photograph. But when you go to Anthony's blog, and the link is up there, you'll see the photograph that he took, which is kind of funny because Jennifer's taking a photograph of him taking a photograph of the photograph that he has on his blog. Is that making sense to you? It's a little bit confusing, but it's absolutely gorgeous, I have to say. It really, really is. Oh, Sean, yeah. Sean, he's at Paysan on Twitter. And Sean had put a comment up on last week's podcast. And I know I was talking pergolas, and Sean had sent me some of his. But the one thing I'll say, and I haven't put the photographs up on my blog, but it will give you an idea of why I suppose preparation is everything and why Vorsprung der Technique should really apply to the pergolas that I build, or Irish built pergolas, because the weather beating that they take is absolutely phenomenal, and you'll understand that a little bit more when you look at Sean's photographs. Straight into my tool of the week. My tool of the week this week has to be the block splitter. I know it's, well, let me break this down. If you're laying cobble, there are two ways of cutting the cobbles to fit. And the first way is usually by consaw, which is petrol driven. But the problem I have with consaws when in a domestic garden where either A, there is no access to water, or B, the hose must be dragged through the house and therefore, you know, there's water dripping all over Mary's floor. And actually it was a Mary in this case. But I like and prefer the older way of doing it. And this block splitter, as you can gather, is about a bazillion years old. It's quite simple. Cobble goes down, measured in between. It's left about an inch off the height of the cobble. And then bam, one swift move, down with the long handle, splits in two, and should work out quite accurately if the stone is quite good. My plant of the week this week has to be the Crataegus, because it's just burst its buds, which is really good to see. It's also a really good sign that everything is just about to kick off. And it goes back to the fact that plants just aren't stupid. They really, really aren't. Their whole purpose, as I've constantly said before, their whole purpose on this planet is to reproduce, to produce flowers, to produce a fruit that contains a seed. In the context of Ireland's greatest stalwart, shall I call it that, the old skiock hedge, something you just about can't destroy. they really don't get it wrong, in my opinion. And there's no plant, or very few plants that I know, will actually produce something so fragile as brand new sets of leaves, whatever which way you wish to describe it, in order that it may be whacked by a frost. Very, very few of them. Or it's a very silly plant that will. But in the Crataegus sense, it just, I couldn't believe it when I saw it this morning, right at the base, nice and protected. The rest of them are just about on their way in, but that was the best photograph I could nab. I had a week of hard landscaping this week. Well, not a week of hard landscaping this week, but I had a tough week of digging and shoveling and hard and manual, and it was nice and it was productive and the end result was good. Photograph number 3 on the images for the podcast is a bag of tar. Now, if you have a driveway or you live in a normal home, and look, don't get me wrong, if I had my way, washing lines, sheds, driveways, houses, the whole lot would be banned and we'd all be living in a treehouse. That's, you know, the reality of it, but it's not the logic of it. And in context, what needed to happen here, let me try and paint a scenario for you. An existing driveway and it's tarmac, fine, and the tarmac would have been done about 10 years ago. And as you drive up where your car is, just picture a normal tree bed semi-D, let's say. To the right-hand side, there's a cobbled area that I had actually laid about 10 years ago. And what needed to be done was the cobbled area needed to be extended. The problem is that the cobbles are 10 years old and the tarmac is 10 years old. And there's obviously the rest of it then is a little bit of planting on the front door of the house, the usual stuff. The big bit on one hand was finding a cobble that matched the cobble that was done 10 years ago. Now, that was no problem, but let's say it was the cobble variety or type was header. The problem is that the one that went down 10 years ago has obviously been weathered a lot. And if I buy the new one, so therefore I'm contractually obliging and contractually fulfilling my obligations, etc., etc., what you'll find is that you've got a brand spanking new bit and the old bit just looks a little bit out of place. It looks like you kind of went it on the cheap. Rather than ripping up the whole thing and doing it anew, which isn't the logic, I came up with the alternate of finding a cobble that, although a different size, it was second hand and it had aged quite similar. Now, there were some red cobbles in it, so I just turned them upside down, and the grey on the flip side of the old cobble actually matched the grey of the cobbles of 10 years ago because they had faded and the dye had kind of been aired out of them. Is that making sense? The second problem was that between what was an existing planting bed and part cobble, there was a little strip of concrete. So all of a sudden now you've got plants, you've got tarmac, you've got a little strip of concrete and you got cobble, and it's just one too many variations. And what I needed to do was to fill in that area of concrete, and raising the concrete levels up or putting a new concrete wouldn't have done it because it would have been quite fragile as soon as a car would have driven over. It was only a couple of mil high in parts. So I bought this bag of tar. And by hand, it's really simply done. Now, I wouldn't do an entire driveway with it. It's about 30, 35 quid a bag, depending. Pretty expensive, I'd have to say, for what you get. Pick it out by hand. Make sure you've got gloves on. Push it into the area that you need to push it in by. It's good for patching, is what I'd say. Domestic patching, and only domestic patching, but push it in by hand, and then with a nice trowel, what I actually did was I got a block of timber, put it on top of it, and just hit it with a good mallet, not a hammer, but a big mallet, big, you know what I'm talking about, and just tapped it into place. You'll see also in there the whacker, so it'll give you an idea of what I was dealing with before I started the garden. A small idea, I didn't want to show the whole pan back, but it'll give you a fair idea of what I was talking about. And also there, you'll see in there, there was a nice bit of rollout turf that was lifted for me yesterday morning and delivered at about 6:30 before I went up the hoat to replace. And again, there was also a point where pebble went in on one part and pebble touched the lawn. I know there are many products out there in the market, steel edgings and all sorts of malarkey that are available. And that's fine if you're spelling your own name and pebble and surrounding it with lawn. I get all of that. It makes perfect sense that it's a flexible material. In reality, a strip of timber painted black and a couple of pegs just to hold it in place will keep the pebble to one side and the lawn to the other side. No rocket science about it. Flick on down to the last two photographs and it goes back to what I was saying to you about plants and them not being stupid and kind of waking up. And what you'll actually see there is the photograph of my rhubarb. Now, I know I put this up last week, but the amount of growth that has come on my rhubarb literally within 7 days is just beyond belief. It's almost, I could pick rhubarb just about now. If you've never grown rhubarb before, this was in my easy cheater's guide to growing your own there sometime or some weeks ago. There's no great strain to this. You heard Philip Murta talking about growing rhubarb over the last couple of podcasts. And what Philip said was, essentially, he had difficulties growing rhubarb for about 2 or 3 or 4 years. He could never get it right. And he's changed position. He's actually got one or two new crowns. He's dropped them into the ground. He's put them in between the flower beds. And it seems to be coming on from. My rhubarb was planted in the darkest, dullest side alley of my house. It's surrounded on all three sides. In fact, just about all four sides. So it only gets light from above. And the alleyway is about 10 metres long by about 1.5 metres wide. So where it gets the light from, where it grows, how it works there, I don't really know. I don't pay it too much attention. I just look out the side window of the house, and when it appears, I crop it. The beauty about it is that the canopy of the leaves will always keep the weeds down that little bit better. And again, as I said, I just ignore it and take from it. It is one of the greatest giving plants that I have ever met in my life, and by God, does it look good. My brother's about to donate me a chest freezer this week. I hope he turns up on the Sunday, because as soon as my fruit starts to come into giving me back what I'd say by this year, in fact, I will have got my money back on my investment in all my fruit trees. I would suggest strongly that I will. And it's what, about 3 odd years ago when I first, maybe four years ago when I first planted the fruit trees. In 4 years, I reckon I've got my money back, considering that a fruit tree nowadays, probably a good one, good apple tree, costs you probably about 20 quid. You'll obviously need the two on that, so you're talking 40 quid, two apple trees, and a lifetime supply once you give it some form of TLC. The final photograph up there, of course, are my daffodil bulbs. And I planted these, and bear in mind, Ballybohol, it's back roads, it's potholes, a lot of potholes. But it's a lot of kind of back roads and winding roads, and it's probably just wide enough to get a decent truck down. What I did was I planted daffodil bulbs into the banks just in front of my hedgerow, and then on the far side, just right beside the ditch. And every year, year after year after year, what was one bulb and two or three bulbs and clusters just dotted along, it's all seem to have just about joined up. That's a really close-up photograph. Some of them are a little bit low, but you'll see the buds of the daffs. They're just about to pop as well, which is really, really good. Kind of looking forward to that one. And again, I have to say, there's nothing more, I don't know, pleasure, enjoy, happy, smile, all of those positive, beautiful words than having flowers that I grew in a ditch sitting on my kitchen table. And what's the cost? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And by God, will it make me smile. Kind of looking forward to that. On the links for the podcast section, got to give a shout out to John Farrell and Tom Atkinson from Atfar Construction Limited. There was a point just this week where I was stuck. It was minimal. It was tiny. It was minute. It was a loan of a piece of machinery is what I needed, because my own had decided to stop for no apparent reason. And the two brains that are and that make up Atfar Construction turned up on site just to give me that extra bit of a handout and make sure I finished on schedule so that client would be able to smile on arrival back today from her holidays. So lads, thanks very much. Really, really is appreciated. I got done what I needed to do, and it was all very much thanks to you. I know it didn't cost you anything, but for that alone, you deserve a mention. Straight into this week's oddities. There's a couple of nice ones in here. Oh, God, yeah, I want to... this one, yeah. The Early Days of Dublin, the Drogheda Railway Line. It's by Dr. Normal Gamble, and he's going to be talking on Wednesday, the 9th of March, in the Presbyterian Church Hall on Dublin Road at 8 p.m. There's a really nice one in here that I kind of want to get to myself, although I've been to Glasnevin Cemetery with Bláthain before. It's the 19th century Celtic Revival and Celtic Cross tombstones. It's in Glasnevin Cemetery. The talk is by Dr. Peter Harbison, no relation to Niall. I would highly recommend that. And that's taking place on the 2nd of March. There's another lovely one by Richard Kirwan. He's the former Director of Ordnance Survey Ireland, and it's called If Maps Could Talk. That's Wednesday, the 30th of March at 7 p.m. in Rush Library, and all of those talks are free. There's a couple of nice oddball links in there. There's one from Pamil, at Pamil on Twitter, reminding me that the average human eats 450 grams of insects a year. Simon, how are you, Simon? Simon put one out saying, oh yeah, this came up because there was a programme on Irish television this week, the week just gone, and in it there was a product placed on the ground, which was, how would you describe it? It was like a sheet of laminated plastic or Perspex, and it made, for want of a better description, it made a circle. Apparently you fill it with soil, and there's also a lid that you can put on top. I personally didn't think much of it. I thought it was a bit of a, you know, I didn't particularly get it. But Simon just sent me a message saying, if you can grow your own, you can slap four planks together for a raised bed. And I'm inclined to agree with Simon. Listen, there's no rocket science to this at all. I've said it before, there's the cheater's guide to growing your own. As regards raised beds, go to any builder's providers, buy yourself four scaffold planks. Scaffold planks are fairly much built, designed, not really, in brackets, to take a good solid beating. Give them a lick of paint if you want to make it a little bit prettier. Nail them together in any way you like. Don't dig up the turf, no double digging. Just fill the thing in with whatever crap, to use the French term, you have. Compost, tea bags, old compost, old soil, old anything. This is vegetables you're growing. Bear in mind, as I've constantly said before, when I was buying my seeds with my pocket money, when I was cycling up to the local garden centre and putting bags of bulbs on the handlebars of my bike, I didn't have a budget for compost. I had a sieve and I had a bed from which I took, inverted commas, muck. The things grew, and you don't need super duper compost. You don't need super duper growing facilities. You don't need a glass house. You need a window ledge and a little bit of cop on. And if you're stuck, and that sounds a little bit demeaning, then I apologise. But there's an email address there, and there are places like Twitter where you can put your hand up and just go, hey, listen, anybody had any bad experiences or good experience with this, or what do you recommend? People are there to help, and people are more than willing to do so. Trade on to the nicer stuff. At Lighten Us Always, I like this quote, and she says, quote, just refuse to watch or read anything that is negative. If people think I'm putting my head in the sand, then so be it. And this is in reference to my opening statement as regards the podcast, that this is a politics-free zone. There's a nice one, oh yeah, by Dara Doyle. Yeah, spotted on a wall on Chatham Street in Dublin too. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but click it. Probably one of the funniest things, and a really nice way to end up the podcast, actually. But click it, take a look, it'll make you laugh. I was looking for an And Finally section. As I was taking my photographs early this morning, I found myself humming the tune that is Danny Boy. And last week at the Fingal Folk Club, the Fingal Folk Club, for those you don't know, it takes place in Ballybohol. It takes place in the old, you know, the old national schools. I think I photographed one or two of them down around about Kilmallock when I was there, in County Limerick when I was there about 3 years ago. It's run for free by Ronnie and his family, in fact. And the music that you get there is sometimes just beyond belief. And I think last week I had the iPhone on the table when a violin beside started to play this beautiful tune. And it's how I'm going to end up, because I know today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, I'll be working Saturday, and on my day off on Sunday. And as I said to you, I'll be sitting down in my shorts. Hopefully the sun is still shining by then. But I'll be sitting down in my shorts, and this is going to be playing. Have a great weekend, folks. Do let me know how you get on in the great outdoors. For all of the ways to do that, it's by email, info@donegallandscaping.com. I'm at Donegan Gardens on Twitter. You can also go to the blog, that's www.donegallandscaping.com. You'll see blog up in the top right hand corner, and click the contact page there if you wish. From me, from Ballybohol, from North County Dublin, have a great weekend. Do take care, do enjoy, and happy gardening. Bye for now.